I'm Colleen Phelps, the host of Classically Speaking. Once again, we've produced an episode not realizing that a huge national event was going to occur right before the release. But I think we still have the right piece of music for you. Is it going to fix our unrest? Not on its own. Is it going to make you feel better? I don't know. But here's what I've got. The piece presented here is a well-timed invocation. And behind it lies a story of innovation in a time of uncertainty. Enjoy. What do we need in 2021? Protection? Compassion? Wisdom? Contemporary music ensemble Chatterbird, along with composer Leila Adu, has just the thing, Mahakala. I'm Colleen Phelps, and this is Classically Speaking. Like so many projects in 2021, Chatterbird's residency with New York-based composer Leila Adu had to be totally reconfigured. But the challenge of taking a concert piece, Adu's Mahakala Oratorio, for two singers and chamber ensemble, and planning its release as a video project instead, was made more profound by the source material, a Buddhist meditation to Mahakala, a Dharmapala, or guardian of Buddha's teachings. An imposing figure, to be sure.
Uncertain times confront us all, every creature, every place.
So Mahakala is a deity, a Buddhist deity, a different manifestation of this god of love, which has all these protection forces like a dark cloak and amulets and things to protect against dark forces.
The Mahakala of Tibetan Buddhism is just so cool looking. He's an imposing figure for sure, and you can find him in a lot of gorgeous, elaborate drawings, often very dark blue or inky black skin, full-bodied with a literal Buddha belly, three eyes with flames as brows, a beard made out of gold hooks, and a crown adorned with skulls. But remember, this is a scary guardian of peace.
Yeah, it's really like a protective energy of compassion. That's what it is.
Even with the piece being conceived before the pandemic, Adu was initially drawn to the global connection of the meditation as it reads.
At first, I thought about climate change, ways to protect the planet.
A global connection that got more and more powerful as the year went on. And for Adu, herself a Black woman, there was also the implication of the color of Mahakala's skin.
Black as a protector, as opposed to Black as always a negative thing in imagery of, you know, religion, including pretty much every religion. I'm living here and I'm always thinking about, you know, issues that affect Black people here. So I just had this thing of thinking, well, if Black as being this powerful and encompassing force and being fierce, but also being a protector. And I just thought, okay, the planet really does need protecting right now.
So I really like the text that I have because it tells you what these symbols mean. It doesn't just tell you the symbols. Like if you see paintings of a deity like this, it reminds me a little bit of when you see very old Christian paintings and, you know, Jesus on a rock means something when, or as opposed to when he's not on a rock. Like they kind of mean things. And then now we have to sort of study these things to understand what they meant. But I think at the time they really were clearer. Came across for me in this text is that it's active. It's being in the world, using tools, doing things. That's what came across. So it's calm on one side, but it's also very active. And I think, to me, it's really saying have the calm and insight and energy to do what you need to do to be a good human.
Mahakala Puja, prayed in a monastery, can go on for about 3 days, and it sounds like this. What Adu Badu did was take selections from the full text in a fresh English translation and pair it with a very Western instrumental ensemble. It's Leila Adu in a nutshell, drawing European classical tradition together with ancient musical and spiritual ideas from around the world, and doing so with all sincerity because those are her backgrounds.
Bit of a funny background for music. I studied composition in New Zealand, and really what I was studying was the Second Viennese School. And if your listeners out there are familiar with that, that's Schoenberg and Webern and Berg. So never repeat anything. If you repeat it, it has to be backwards, up, retrograde or inversion. And so I really began to be trained in a very atonal, arrhythmic form of classical music. That's how I started out, instrumentation and vocal music and orchestration. And it didn't quite sit well with me because, on the other hand, I have my own practice of being a piano, singing pianist for all these years, writing songs. I played gamelan for 7 years, which is purely repetition and really influenced a lot of minimalist genres around the world. And also, I love African music. I'm half African. And so it didn't sit well with me to never repeat stuff. So in a way, it's weird coming to the United States because I think I've always been doing a form of minimalism inspired by the same things that informed minimalism, but not really listening to American minimalism. So I come to music with repetition from, I would say, yeah, musics of the world. And being in the United States, of course, I've heard these textures more, but it's just natural for me. Because I love rhythm, then, you know, that just comes out in the music. I really love writing for a large chamber ensemble because it has all those colors, but it's still a band and an orchestra. I love writing for orchestra, but it's harder to communicate with an orchestra. I like the single wind, single string because you get all those beautiful colors and it's close enough to an orchestra, but it's more malleable. You feel like you could maybe just, you know, write an email to the viola player. Well, I think I wrote an email to the harp player and said, like, hey, what about this? Which, and with the orchestra, I'm a little more scared and more friendly. I wanted to sing the work. Oh, this is a unique opportunity for me to write for my voice with someone else. And thinking about things where we need collective power, there's another voice there that could sing that with me. There's a part that's very dark and discordant and with offbeat drums, and it's really, really evocative and emotive. It's not as pretty, but it's beautiful.
There's a line that keeps coming in my head, which is, yeah, the body of passion is fully awake, focused, and engaged. And every time I did an 80-hour work week, like stay up for three writing this piece, after work, teaching at school, or whatever, I would think, the body of passion is fully awake, focused, and engaged. Like, I can do this. There's some of the most powerful images that I've ever come across. The body of passion. You know, I do chant. I pray myself quite a lot, and, you know, I kind of want to not sing as part of these bits, just sort of mumble kind of, and just have this as a, you know, as a calming space, because it's something, you know, Om Mani Hapa Padme Hum I felt okay to use that chant just in this piece, because even, you know, Dalai Lama will say, everybody can have this, you know, this chant as a soothing chant. And of course, I think of these chants as something that you can do whatever religion you are, if you have no religion. Om Mani Padme Hum is just spreading compassion. It's just a way to, I guess, show love, to just show love for everybody.
With Leila Adu in New York, Chatterbird here in Nashville, a video artist in Abu Dhabi, and a pandemic, how did they put it all together in the end? Find out after the break. After the December premiere of Mahakala Oratorio, I hosted a streamed post-concert talk. The honesty expressed by each member of the creative team was pretty refreshing. While they were all committed and excited, they didn't shy away from the fact that it was challenging.
The key is really planning.
For me, it was even like my first time to play my instrument, to really play my instrument since March.
There was a lot of chances for something to go bad.
In every rehearsal, I never had more than six people.
That's Joe Lee, who conducted.
So what they saw here tonight was a combination of four different recording sessions.
It just feels emotionally powerful, just because it's been such a long, difficult project and there were so many obstacles along the way. And
that's Jesse Strauss. He's the percussionist and certainly played the producer role for this project. He pointed out that because the recording process was split up, for the musicians, the premiere itself was a unique experience.
It sort of allowed us to see it through the eyes of like an audience member that is hearing a piece for the first time.
Chatterbird artistic director Celine Thaxton felt the same way.
Tonight, to really sit with it and see it felt like a release, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing to gather with everyone, so I'm really excited.
Mahakala is an expression.
One feeling that was universal, all of the musicians knew they needed to learn to stop worrying and love a click track.
I was very skeptical because all of my experiences, literally all of my experiences with a click track, have been iffy.
And for Adu, the presence of the click actually influenced how she composed the music itself.
So I didn't feel excited about it, but I leaned into it and I just decided, okay, I'm going to have each song at a tempo. It's going to stay there. It's going to be too hard to speed up and slow down. Because within a click track, what I know from having recorded so many albums with a click track is that you can actually have an organic rhythm if you have a drummer there that kind of, or a bass player, but just the rhythm section can kind of, they can play around the click track and make it sound like there's no click track. I mean, most albums we listen to had a click track, I'd say, yeah.
Plan for the project was an audio-visual performance, including Adu's oratorio setting of this meditation, alongside a swirling and disorienting video installation from artist Aaron Sherwood.
I really wanted to improvise along with the musicians as they're playing, so I created a system where I could control it.
Beautiful kind of spinning, fractal, you know, glitchy mandalas, and his partner's a dancer and he works with her, and I was just like, wow, I love these guys.
The result was he turned what could have just been documentation of a new piece of music into an even more fully formed work of art.
I think that goes with some of the words, you know, the delusion and that kind of stuff. I like this other layer and that it makes it another thing.
What it's doing in various ways is analyzing the movement on screen or perhaps off screen, and then taking that movement and doing something to the stuff that's happening on screen. And really all that analyzation of movement is making the pixels flow in different ways on screen.
Let's protect and discipline the outcome of expression.
Piece of music is an act of trust. The players trust the composer to create an experience, and the composer has no choice but to put their work in the hands of the artists.
I do really trust musicians. I trust that a musician just feels that, look at me, I'm bassooning. They feel a note and they just want to play it loud, or there's just a beautiful vibration that comes out of these instruments. That's why I still write for them, even though I play piano and do electronics. I teach music technology, actually, but I write for them because I just love the vibration of instruments. And so I'm thinking of all these instruments vibrating, and my biggest bummer about this piece was I just couldn't be in the room with that.
Look now all around, there are abusive states.
I love orchestrating. I really, really like writing for large groups. It takes a long, 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 long time. I really love brass because when they're there, you just feel triumphant. And so it's sad that you can't just have them every single bar if you've got like harp and violin or viola or something. I trust music. It's not all about words, because words are the meaning and they filter through into music. But you don't, you know, I think it really helps to hear those words. But there is meaning in the music by itself. It's like cooking a meal for people you love, you know, like playing instruments for people you really like. It just feels really good.
Oxobia, a tranquil place.
Last question of the post-concert talk came from the audience, and given the subject of Mahakala, it was about compassion. What role does music play in showing compassion to the world? Leila Adu shows the answer in her work. In addition to composing and performing, she's taught music in prisons through the organization Musicambia, and she's currently on the board of a record label called Die Jim Crow.
Die Jim Crow is the country's first record label for formerly incarcerated and currently incarcerated musicians. It just feels so far away. I feel like people in prison, unless you know someone, I think partly what, you know, the project does is showing people that people inside may have done something terrible. Of course, some of those people might not have done something, but some of those people might have done something terrible, but that's your worst day. And then there's all these other days.
Yes, I'm home. I am home. Yes, I'm home.
This is I'm Home by Cedric Johnson. It was the first studio recording that was cut for Die Jim Crow.
I am home. It's been so many long years since I've been here, how you on the street.
You know, a lot of people have so much goodness to give society. They've had some really terrible things happen to them. Really bad start in life.
Missing my favorite street corners, knowing that I'm a stronger.
We just get to hear stories of people that we wouldn't usually hear from that could be, again, our neighbor. They could be people really close to us or just upstate or whatever that is. And so part of it is giving people a chance to, for us to hear their stories outside. It's giving people skills inside. And partly, you know, I know from teaching music that, you know, having communication with someone, being creative, collaborating with a group, creating, taking different roles. These are all things that are really a luxury for people inside. And I remember I used to have a landlord in Brooklyn who, she was a lovely lady, but she just said, why do they have these prison programs? Why do they spend money? And I said to her, well, you know, these people are coming out and they're going to be your neighbor. Would you rather that somebody was sort of just left to rot inside, or would you rather they were learning music and learning things and coming out with skills and happier and more fulfilled and something to give society?
I said in my class, there's this international net of web of kindness through music, and they're like, oh, what are you talking about? But it's true. You don't need like lots and lots of money to do these things. You just need, I guess, dedication and care, and then these things can happen.
My sort of bigger aim is to just help on this crusade, I guess, that we have to just share kindness with each other.
More in-depth on meditation and Mahakala with local percussionist Kirby Shellstad in the show notes at nashvilleclassicalradio.org. Classically Speaking is a production of Nashville Public Radio. The show is edited by Anita Bug and mastered by Carl Peterson. I'm Colleen Phelps. Mahakala Oratorio by Leila Adu is still available for viewing on YouTube. Die Jim Crow releases can be found on Bandcamp. Other music in this and past episodes can be found if you search for Classically Speaking on Spotify. Happy New Year from us at your backstage pass to classical music, Classically Speaking.